Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show, all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, one more segment to go, breaking down the loss against Texas Tech and looking ahead to Houston. Matt Biamonte alongside Nate Slack. No Mitch Harper. He's on vacation. Hope he's having a great time down in Southern California, eating lots of churros, enjoying Disneyland as we all do. And we'll look forward to having him back.
But what's your go-to snack? What's your go-to snack at Disneyland?
Oh, it's the churro. And then specifically, Nate, I like a cold Diet Coke at the Pizza Planet, only at the Pizza Planet. I want to put in the right amount of ice, and I want to take a few sips and top it off. So that's one of the few places at Disneyland where you get to fill your own drink. So a cold Diet Coke from Pizza Planet, a crispy churro, I'm loving life. What about you?
I'm double-fisting churros. I'm just going to town on churros.
Do you like a regular churro or some of their like specialty strawberry fillings, or are you just like the regular?
I just get the regular. I'm kind of a boring that way. I like just maple bar donuts and glazed donuts and regular churros. That's me.
One of the underrated things about Disneyland is you can double fist a churro because you'll be walking so much, you'll burn them right off.
Walking a lot and waiting in line.
No doubt about it. All right. Hey, before we turn the page to Houston, big battle tomorrow night, and we'll have you covered at KSLSports.com. We got another call. This is from Cedar Hills, a lovely part of Utah. Scott wants to chime in about the second half troubles for BYU basketball. What do you have for us, Scott?
Well, I think, like I was saying, they come out and play top-notch basketball in the first half. It's very exciting. And then they play church ball intramural style the second half. And like Ryan said earlier, they play not to lose rather than keeping the pedal to the metal and playing hard and win. And even listening to the announcers on the TV, I'd rather listen to Greg, but sometimes I'm not near the radio. But they even say that you know, they've stopped playing. They're not attacking. They're not moving the ball. They're playing, you know, they don't have any one-on-one players. So, Dallin, put the ball in the hoop when you go drive the basket. But
yeah.
Stop playing intramural, guys. Keep the pressure on and play like you do the first half.
Yeah,
I don't know
for
the conditioning thing or what.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I would love Dallin to be a little more aggressive, getting to the rim. At times we've seen it. I think there's two things we need to bring up quickly, Nate. Number one, Dallin is still a sophomore. Like, there's a lot of great basketball ahead for Dallin Hall. We've seen the flashes of brilliance. Maybe the standard is a little bit high for Dallin right now because, and this leads me to my second point, BYU was not exposed to these type of situations very often during their time in the WCC. Like, what, maybe three or four times a year in conference play with St. Mary's and Gonzaga and an occasional scare from somebody else. Every night, it's just another level of intensity. And I think sometimes we forget when you're making that kind of jump, because to me it feels like they're making the jump from high school basketball to college basketball. That feels like the difference between consistent Big 12 play versus WCC play. Like, they're not comparable. And maybe we aren't valuing enough how hard of an adjustment it is to sustain this type of play night after night after night for 40 minutes, because you can't show up against anybody, Nate, and just play one half and expect to win. Because as we saw against Texas Tech, 20 minutes of good basketball is not good enough.
Yeah, and if you thought Texas Tech was tough, just wait till tomorrow night. Here's some numbers from Houston. So these are national rankings for the Houston defense. They're number one in points allowed. They're averaging 51 points per game for their opponent. That's 7.1 points per game better than number two, Virginia. They're also number one in defensive efficiency, number one in effective field goal percentage, number one in two-point percentage, number one in block percentage, number one in steal percentage, number three in turnover percentage. And the list goes on and on. So BYU's got its work cut out for them tomorrow. And hopefully they're able to play like they did last Tuesday. I have been impressed with BYU on the quick turnarounds. I was a little nervous about having a game on Saturday and travel and getting home late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. One day of practice on Monday and then playing on Tuesday. But they've done well doing that so far. So hopefully that continues tomorrow.
Houston is so good, man. It's what they have done over the past couple of years. Because remember, the last time these two teams met was back in 2019. And this was... Were you a Greg Wrubell intern that year?
I was, and I was working in the studio that game. So it was kind of a bummer because I listened to the buzzer beater before I saw it on TV, but it was still cool to be behind the scenes on that.
That was a great moment. Jason Shepard of BYU Radio, he was down on the call with Mark Durant. And I just remember Mark Durant, oh, TJ! But that was the TJ Haws. I don't know how that shot went in. It was like dead sprint to the corner, fadeaway, gets the bucket. The reason I bring that game up, though, is Houston at that time was not the Houston we know today. Coach Kelvin Sampson has cranked it up since the last meeting to where, as you mentioned, with all those statistics, this is one of the most daunting defensive teams in all of college basketball. They've been that way for 2 years now. They're an experienced group. They're coming off their first Big 12 Conference Player of the Week award. It was their point guard, Jamal Sheed. He's averaging 19 points a game, but defensively, they are relentless. And what concerns me about this matchup is the one thing that seems to really bother BYU in conference play, Nate, is when the guards come up to half court and they hound you. Because this league, it's physical. It's not as ticky-tack as other leagues. You can get away with stuff on the perimeter. And teams like Texas Tech, Baylor, UCF even, had tremendous success harassing BYU's guards far away from the basket. And that's exactly what Houston is going to do.
How do you feel about it being a home game? Because Houston hasn't won a Big 12 game on the road yet. They've got losses at Iowa State and losses to TCU. Granted, they were close, but do you feel like BYU has a better chance with it being a home game?
100%. I don't see how BYU wins this game on the road. At home, this is where Cougar Nation can make an impact. Because look, at the end of the day, we say this all the time, Nate, these are still college kids. They're kids. These are professionals. They're juggling class and social life and basketball. There's a lot on their plate. And I feel like the home road, it swings more in college basketball than it does at the NBA level. And there's an opportunity if BYU gets on an 8-0 run, the crowd's on their feet. They're going crazy. They get a stop. Like, they can really put pressure on Houston. I'm talking about BYU fans. By bringing a Gonzaga-like atmosphere to the Marriott Center, because there's not a lot of places that teams can play that is like the Marriott Center. There's some hard places to play, don't get me wrong, but how many places can pack in close to 20,000 fans and the place is going crazy and you got the Rock? Like, I want this to be a sellout because I think BYU fans can greatly influence this game and make it difficult on Houston. Whereas if this was down in Texas, I just feel like, man, Houston would suffocate you. They'd take control of the game. The crowd would be in their favor. I wouldn't see any chance for a win in Texas. But at home, if BYU can capitalize on those short spurts where the fans are engaged, hit a couple threes, I think they can be beat. Like you said, Houston has been beaten in conference play. They're number four. Statistically, they're great, but they're not – just like every team in college basketball this year, Nate, I'm ranting a little bit here, so I'll give you the floor in just a moment. But I don't feel like there's anyone in the Big 12 that is dominant. There's no great teams that we're going to look back on in the Big 12 and say, that was Christian Laettner and the Duke Blue Devils. There's nobody like that. Anyone can be beat. Kansas just got beat by West Virginia, for heaven's sake, who we thought was a bottom feeder in the conference. So anyone can be beat, especially when teams are on the road in the Marriott Center, and it's up to Cougar fans to get there early, to be loud, and to create a great atmosphere of the Marriott Center.
My last 2 cents is this is a huge opportunity for BYU for this season as well, because it's the only chance they're going to have to play Houston this entire year. They don't have to make a return trip to Houston, and they don't have to make a return trip for Texas either. So these games this week, BYU has a chance to steal a couple games. They had a game stolen from them against Cincinnati, but they have a couple good chances to get back on track at home and get back in the win column in the Big 12 standings.
It's such a good point, too, because not making that return trip, that's advantageous. And I also feel like, tell me if you feel the same way, this is the type of win that, and it's a big if, I'm not saying that it's going to happen by any stretch of the imagination, but this is if they were to get the win. I guess that's where I'm trying to get to. If they get the win, Nate, this feels like it's almost good enough to get you in the tournament. It's gonna hold that much weight.
Yep.
Beating Houston. Oh, now you still got to win a few more games. But if you go 7-11 in conference play, but you got to win against Houston, you're getting in the tournament. Like, it's a massive opportunity for this BYU basketball team. What's your prediction? Do you like the Cougs, the blue Cougs, or the red Cougs tomorrow, Nate?
You know, after all this stuff I've said, I'm still riding with
I'm doing it.
The Blue Cougs. And it's because of Marriott Center magic. I think the place is going to be sold out. There's still plenty of time to buy tickets. And I think BYU can get it done. They're going to have a healthy team. So Atiki's going to have to play. Waterman's going to have to play. Nell's going to have to be able to put more shots up. But assuming everybody's healthy and able to go tomorrow, I'm going to take the Cougs. I'm going to take them by two. We'll go. It's not going to be a high-scoring game. We'll go 64-62 BYU.
I can't get there. I have to go with the Red Cougs just because there's been too much up and down play. But if there was ever a time for BYU fans to make a difference, and I'm talking 2019, Gonzaga at home, you got Yoli, you got Toulson, you got TJ. That place was electric. One of the best environments I've ever been in any sporting event in my life.
Yep.
That had a huge impact on the game. If BYU fans can do that. And look, I know it's a Tuesday night. You can't be showing up late. Like, get off of work early, get the kids home early, get down to the Marriott Center and make a difference, because this is the type of game that could swing a season. I think that's great stuff, Nate. Nate, it's been a pleasure having you on Cougar Nation with us. Our producer, Nate Slack, doing a great job holding down for Mitch Harper. So for Nate Slack, I'm Matt Biamonte. Cougar Nation, every Monday night, 6 to 7. We'll see you next week.